And today I'll be speaking on a message I've titled Faith in Jesus, the Word of God. Faith in Jesus, the Word of God. Amen. And if you've got your Bibles here, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And I would like to start reading from verse 1. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats, their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. So just to recap here, this is after he had turned the temple. He had caused a stir, driven people out. And then he said, the blind and the lame, two categories of people who would struggle with mobility, they came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Verse 18. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. And when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to this mountain." So at this point here, he's referring to Mount Olives. "Go, throw thyself into the sea, and it will be done. And if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask of in prayers." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm going to stop there for now. This is an account of what happened when Jesus was with his disciples. If we read from the beginning, this all happened around the region of Mount Olives. The Mount Olives being significant here, we'll come to that as we make progress in this message. But I want to bring out 2 points here. Jesus cursed the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree because he had expectation for that fig tree. He went to the fig tree hoping to find some fruits to help to deal with his hunger. And on getting there, he found nothing. So did he know or did he not know that there will not be fruits? We are talking about Jesus. Jesus knew. So why did he curse that fig tree? If we turn our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, we have an account of what happened there. This was after Adam and Eve sinned against God. I'll read from verse 1. So now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." And you've read that down. Just follow it down. But at some stage we find there that two trees were mentioned. The first tree that was mentioned is the tree of life. This was after God created Adam and Eve and God put them in the garden. Genesis chapter 2, we'll find this account. And God said to them, "Of all the trees here you may freely eat, but you shall not touch the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And the third tree that was mentioned there is the fig tree. So we see here, after Adam and Eve, after they had sinned against God, they suddenly realized that they were naked and they needed a covering for their nakedness. So what happened all this while? Why weren't they conscious of their nakedness? We are told in scripture there that in the cool of the evening, the Lord God will come. They didn't see God, but they heard the sound of God. And as I prepared, it occurred to me that the sound of God is because of the presence of God. And if we read Revelation chapter 4, we hear and we see the things that happen in heaven around the throne of God. We see this, we read about the signs of lightnings and thunder, different colors, manifestation of power around the throne of God. All these things happening there because of the presence of God. And if God were to vacate that location, permit me to say, nothing of such would happen. They will move with the Almighty. And so it was with Adam and Eve. The type of sound that they heard, I don't know. But the scripture tells us that they heard the sound of God. How does God sound? No idea. But it's such that it's unmistakable. Because it recalls that they heard the sound of God walking among the leaves. So they could distinguish the difference between the sound of God and the sound of the leaves in the Garden of Eden. And that, and because of the presence of God, their nakedness was completely swallowed. They were not conscious that they were naked. Because of the glory of God that was there in the garden, they had no clue that they were naked. You see, brothers and sisters, that same glory of God, that same power of God, that same presence of God that obscured Adam and Eve's mind to the fact that they were naked is present here today. And like it obscured their consciousness of their nakedness, and like it swallowed their physical awareness, that presence of God is here today to swallow any condition that is not of God. That presence of God is here to deal with sicknesses. That presence of God is here to deal with diseases. That presence of God is here to bring life in the place of death. That presence of God is here to bring peace in the place of trouble. That presence of God is here to bring direction in the place of confusion. That presence of God is here to set at liberty them that are in captivity today. If we put our faith in the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because like I said earlier on, the presence of God goes with God. And we have no doubt whatsoever today, God's word to us today is that Jesus is here, we know that. See, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of them. So we know that Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, the same power of God that was in operation in the Garden of Eden, the same glory of God, the same presence of God is here. And as we make progress, brothers and sisters, I like it, just begin to plug, begin to release your faith, begin to trust God, just look beyond and listen beyond what you hear. You've not come to hear any man, you've not come to see any man, you've come to hear God, you've come to see God. And I just want to encourage you, just put your trust in God. And so we go back to the fig tree. That fig tree mentioned there in Genesis chapter 3 was only good to be used as clothing. Adam and Eve had to use the leaves from the fig tree to cover their nakedness. And so when Jesus saw that fig tree, he had nothing against the fig tree. But all he could see was leaves. Leaves, no fruits. Two things. Leaves, physical activity, no fruits. No fruits, no character. Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, I think from verse 15 down. It says, by their fruits they shall be recognized. Hallelujah. By their fruits you shall know them. And unfortunately for that fig tree, when Jesus saw that fig tree, there was no fruit on that fig tree. And Jesus cursed the fig tree. Did he curse the fig tree because he hated the fig tree? No. No, 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 no. Our God is love. God, there is no iota of hate in him. But Jesus cursed that fig tree as to show a lesson to his disciples that were following him. What was the lesson he wanted to show them? The lesson of faith. Faith. To remind them that the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, is in charge. And he wanted to train his disciples to put their faith in the Word of God. Put their faith in the Word of God. Faith in anything else will not stand. You see, because that fig tree had no fruit, that fig tree had no identity. And if I might ask this morning, on what do we base our identity? What is that thing that makes you tick? What is that thing that satisfies you and makes you feel, yes, I have achieved? Is it your qualification? Is it your bank balance? Is it the number of properties? Type of cars? Family? Lineage? All those are temporary. Those things will pass away, brothers and sisters. Our identity needs to be in God. Our identity needs to be in God. And that's the only thing that will carry over from here. The identity that is founded on Christ. The identity that is rooted in Christ. That in spite of what we go through, we are not moved. And so that fig tree had no identity. There's no fruit. There was no fruit. Jesus could not find any fruit on that fig tree. And so he decided to cut the tree to demonstrate to his disciples. And then they asked a question. First of all, they were amazed at the speed at which the tree withered. And then they asked, how come this happened so quickly? And what was Jesus' response? He could have gone into some biology or into some botany to explain to them how that the tree would have lost contact, the trunk, they would have lost contact with the root would have lost contact with the soil, there would be no water, you name it, and the leaves would start dying, no photosynthesis. No! He said, if you have faith, and that's where I'm getting to this morning, if you have faith in Jesus, well, he didn't say if you have faith in Jesus, because he, Jesus, the Lord of creation, stood before them. But he said, if you have faith in these words, if you have faith in the Word of God, if you have faith for us, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, not only we will do what was done to that fig tree, I'm sure we're not going to go about cursing fig trees. But he said, you will also say to this mountain. He didn't say that mountain. So which indicates they must have been within the vicinity of Mount Olives. So you will also say to this mountain, be removed and be cast onto the sea. Now what's the significance of Mount Olives? Mount Olives is a very important mountain in Israel. I'm not going to go into any details, but I'll just say a few things about Mount Olives. Apart from the fact that it is a spiritual high ground, Mount Olives was the mountain where Jesus stood and from where he ascended into heaven. And some people believe that on his return, he was going to return via Mount Olives. Because the Bible says this same Jesus that you see now living, he will return in the same manner. And so some people take that out of context and believe he is going to come down there. that is something for. Now, some theologians also believe that Mount Olives is a sacred place. But we'll put all of that aside. The key thing is, for the significance of Mount Olives, for all the things that Mount Olives stood for, because that was the same mountain where Jesus stood and he wept over Jerusalem because of the things that were happening in Jerusalem. So Mount Olive is a very important mountain in the history of Israel. But Jesus said, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain, Mount Olives, be removed and be cast into the sea. So meaning, if we look at the significance, the religious significance, the political significance, now everything, if we believe in Jesus, brothers and sisters, that's what I'm trying to get you to this morning. If you believe in Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, everything else will be secondary. Everything else can be changed. Everything else can be removed. If we have faith in Jesus. You may say to me, yes, Edward, but you don't know. I've had this illness for a long time. I've been in this situation for a very long time. I've been out here several times. I've been out in different churches several times. What the Lord is saying this morning is, He's got you. Praise the Lord. He's got you. God's time is not my time. It's not your time. In His time, God will reach you. God will touch you. But I believe this morning that if we can stretch our faith, if we can believe God for who He is, if you can believe Him, if you can trust Him, you can put your faith in His word this morning. Don't try to begin to reason out how it's going to work. You see, faith and the human reasoning, they don't go together. They don't work together. Where faith is pulling this way, human reasoning is pulling this way. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible. Nobody, no human being can please God without faith. Why? Because faith takes us to God and helps us to believe that He is God. And not only is He God, He is who He says He is. Not only that, He is capable of doing what He said He would do. And that is where the battle is. If you go back to Genesis, and if you read that conversation between Satan and Adam and Eve, Satan asks a question. Did God really say this? Did He really say this? See, in essence, He's trying to discredit the Almighty. And that's why Satan can never have faith. And that is one thing that you and I, we possess which is trying to dispossess us. Our faith in God. That ability to be able to believe God for what God says He will do. That ability to be able to say, God is faithful. God is holy. God is righteous. And stick with it. And that was what that conversation was all about. You know, Satan painting a picture. Yeah, but did he really say this? No, but in actual fact, this is what it meant. You know, that if you eat it, and you just know a bit more. And I think, brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Why? Because it says, anyone that will come to God, he that must come to God must first of all believe. Must first of all believe that He is. He is what? Or He is who? The Almighty God. He is who? The Alpha and the Omega. He is who? The beginning and the ending. He is who? The one that promised that He will return again. He is who? The one that holds my life and your life in His hands. He is who? Our provider. He is who? Our healer. He is who? Our protector. He is who? Our guide. He is who? Our teacher. Our counselor. That's what faith does. And when we can get ourselves to that point, the Bible tells us, we also believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. It's a healing guest service today. And we're going to be praying for people in a few minutes. I just want you to begin to trust God in your heart. Just make up your mind that you will make contact with God today. Just make up your mind that something will give. A scripture we read, maybe scripture about the issue of blood. Our opening scripture, the one our brother Adi led us to read. That woman with the issue of blood. She pressed and she touched. She said, if I can only touch His garment. If I can only touch His garment. And one of the scriptures we read at the beginning of the scripture we read today, when Jesus went in the temple and He overturned the tables of the money changers, the brutal change in the temple of God. And He drove those people that sold pigeons, drove them away from their seats. The place must have been in a mess. Visually, I'm just trying to imagine, you have beads, you have stuff everywhere. But two categories of people came to Him. Two categories of people came to Jesus. The lame and the blind. You see, I tell you one, it's not easy to be without vision. If I stand here, I close my eyes and I try to walk down, I don't know how far I'm approaching there. It's not that easy. But they found their way through the mess in the temple. That is faith. They trusted that they would make their way to Jesus. And the mere fact that they were able to get to Jesus, the Bible records that Jesus healed them. And the lame, of course, people with weaknesses, leg muscles, some of them probably they've been in that condition for years. How did they get to Jesus? Have we considered their struggles? Have we considered the fact that they may have depended on people to get them there? Have we considered the fact that they probably needed a wheelchair or needed their couches? They needed something, some form, you know, something to aid their mobility and to get through the chaos, to get through the mess that was already caused in that temple. But they found their way there to where Jesus was. And the Bible records that Jesus healed them. That same Jesus that did that several years ago, he is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. I want to believe that God, in his faithfulness, is going to reach out and touch us today. Amen. He's going to reach out and touch us today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about faith in Jesus, the Word of God. That's the only person that can get us through our situation, that can get us out of our situation and get us into the promised land. I'm going to call members of the worship team to please come out. And I'm going to call on people who will be praying for people. So please come out here. And if you'd like to be prayed for, if you like prayers for anything, please come forward. There is no... These are people that God is prepared to pray, and we are here to trust God. So if you have any need, anything you are trusting God for, or if you've never given your life to Christ, you're sitting here, you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is also in the business of changing people's lives today. He's in the business of giving life, new life, so that when your time here on earth is done, you will with confidence walk into the presence of the Master and you will hear those words, "Well done, thou faithful and obedient servant." So if you're here, you want to give your life to Christ, again, please come forward and there will be people here to pray with you. So I'm just going to ask us to rise up now. Worship team, please minister to us. And if you would like to be prayed for, anything, there is nothing that God cannot do. Anything you want God to touch you, anywhere, anything, please come forward. Whether it's sickness, or if you want to be prayed, you want to pray for somebody, you want to come out on behalf of somebody, please come forward. We will pray for you. And God will touch you.